about what you're doing. And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams
is on.
All righty, and we are on the program tonight. And we are going to have with us momentarily, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we are going to have on a gentleman who has spared no words in the enunciation of his views on race, culture, heritage, and tradition. Americans are proud of it, as they say. And he heads up an organization called American Renaissance. Jared Taylor is his name. And Jared Taylor was here once before, and he's here tonight, I believe, momentarily on the line, to talk about these issues that are essential to the survival of America at its core being. And let's see if we have him yet. We'll ask my producer here if we have Jared Taylor yet. Do we?
Well, I think you do.
We do? Jared, is that you?
This is I, yes.
That is you. All right, or I, or me. How are you, Jared?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay, very good. You have a website, AmericanRenaissance.com, is that right?
No, it's an abbreviation of that. It's AMREN, A-M-R-E-N.
AMREN, okay, not Ayn Rand, but AMREN.
AMREN, A-M-R-E-N.com.
AMREN.com, all right. But it is an American Renaissance that you are featuring, right?
Yes, that's a monthly publication.
Right. Now, that's the publication that comes out, what is it, once monthly, I believe, or something like that?
It's monthly.
Yeah, and you tell us about it before we take our first break. I'd like to know, again, how you began, a little bit about you, and why the American Renaissance.
American Renaissance is, as I said, a monthly publication. We're in our 17th year of publication now, and it takes the view that just as every other racial group in the United States has organizations and publications that promote its interests, whether or not it's Hispanics, Blacks, Asians, whites also have legitimate interests as a group, and that they deserve to have those interests heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we mainly consider questions of race relations and immigration. Immigration being a very, very substantial U.S. policy
mm-hmm.
that impacts on the interests of whites and on race relations in general.
Well, that is the understatement of the century, I believe. Indeed. And you have enunciated such a policy, and I guess some people don't particularly like that. They've bandied about names. You've debated many people, and you've managed to continue to swing at both ends and come out with your boxing gloves on and take a stand that maybe is not so popular with some, but very popular with others. And I dare say that the popularity today is increasing. That is for your stand, for America, for whites, for our heritage here in these United States. And that we needn't be ashamed of it. In fact, quite the contrary, there is much that we need to be proud of. Not all of it, but much that we need to be proud of. And for that, I thank you. I thank you very much, Jared Taylor.
Well,
now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have plenty of time to talk. We'll invite people with questions to call in at 800-313-9443. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Okay, so we have Jared Taylor with us tonight, Amren.com, and he, of course, says he's hosted this publication now for 17 years or so. And let me ask you, Jared, what was it that primarily motivated you to begin this endeavor, specifically?
It's the fact that, although, as I said before, every other racial group in the country has clear objectives and goals that they push, often at the expense of whites. The assumption in the United States is that whites are not allowed to have group interests and group goals. We are all supposed to be acting as individuals, and if scattered individuals are not prepared to defend their group interests, no one else will. So the purpose of American Renaissance is to provide a kind of rallying point for white racial consciousness so that whites will not be pushed aside by other racial groups that are utterly unapologetic and quite aggressive in promoting their interests at our expense.
Do you have any relationship with any other groups? And I know this will come up. People will ask you, are you involved with any supremacist groups, for instance?
No, we have no relationship with any other group. American Renaissance is published by a nonprofit organization called New Century Foundation, of which I'm the president. And no, we are independent of any other organization.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have debated a number of people on these issues having to do with everything from quotas, affirmative action, busing, education, so-called immigration issues, and so forth. And I know that, one of those debates, I guess, had to do with the Halifax diversity debate. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that was a rather odd story, really, first to last. I had been invited to go to Halifax in January of this year mm-hmm. and debate a black professor at the University of Dalhousie. That's a university in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
On the question of whether racial diversity is a strength or a weakness for Canada and the United States. Well, at some point, he apparently got some pressure from the university and decided to kick me out of the debate. He had already arranged for a room and a time, and he had uh-huh. posters printed up.
Uh-huh.
And then he unilaterally decided that he was going to change the debate into a monologue. I thought that was extremely unmanly and downright cowardly.
I'll say.
And so I decided, well, all right, I'll go up there anyway. I'll attend his talk, ask a few needling questions, and then I would rent, I decided to rent a hotel ballroom and have a lecture myself the very next day on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there, and my lecture was broken up by thugs wearing face masks. They beat on pots and pans and shouted obscenities and, in fact, surrounded me and pushed me out of this room that I myself had rented. So I was unable to give my talk. That caused quite a lot of press coverage in Halifax, and it caught the attention of a professor at a different university, St. Mary's University, likewise in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a real advocate of free speech, and he was outraged at what had been done to me. And so he arranged for his university to host a debate on the same subject, and that was to be held in March. Well, I flew up in March, and about a half an hour after I got to Halifax, I learned that St. Mary's, likewise, had decided that they could not host a debate on that subject. I think the idea for Canadians that racial diversity is a strength must not be questioned. It's practically the state religion. And so two universities in a row simply didn't have the guts even to host a debate on this subject. Well, this professor at St. Mary's who had arranged the debate, Peter March, as I say, he's a very strong advocate of freedom of speech.
Yes.
He disagrees with me on the subject of racial diversity.
Sure.
But he was appalled at this behavior, and he arranged for us to have a debate in a radio station instead. So we did end up having something of a debate. It was slightly abbreviated because radio doesn't ordinarily give you the kind of structured this person speaks, that person speaks without interruptions
mm-hmm.
that we had anticipated for debate. But we had a pretty good exchange. And then St. Mary's University, I suppose out of embarrassment for having chickened out, having been the second university in a row to chicken out of holding a public debate on this subject, they hosted a private debate before no audience that they professionally videotaped.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went through the full debate, and that professionally produced CD is now available at our webpage, and you gave the URL before as amren.com.
Mm-hmm.
We've sold quite a few copies of that. People find that quite interesting. Once again, the question of the debate was, is racial diversity a strength for Canada or the United States?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it is sort of ironic, isn't it, that the very people who say they believe in speech, free speech, and academic liberty, indeed, they would virtually challenge everything, whether it's sacred or sacrosanct or not, would chicken out and indeed use force of arms, to try to prevent people like yourself from taking a position that is opposite their own. I find that interesting.
Well, it's quite pathetic, really. On the first occasion, when I say when I was disinvited to take part in this debate, and the debate was turned into a monologue, and I rented a room to give my reply,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't get a single newspaper or radio station in the city of Halifax to accept my advertising. It was an advertisement of a lecture on whether racial diversity is a strength for Canada. They wouldn't even accept the advertising, for heaven's sake. And so it is appalling to me that this notion of racial diversity as being a kind of invariable strength for Canada is considered so sacred, as you say, so sacrosanct,
mm-hmm.
that one dare not even hold it up to the slightest scrutiny. I think That is very, very, a very disturbing commentary on the intellectual straitjacket that Canadians appear to be wearing.
And how did this come about? I mean, you know, I have my own theories and views, and the ADL and other groups like that that have basically stereotyped whites and have lumped them all together. And basically, the mantra that whites are the reactionaries, they are the source of racism, it's a one-way street, and we must have hate speech laws now, like they have in Canada, to basically silence people from discussing these issues. And they've sort of helped create an atmosphere of fear now in the United States, although there is a backlash, because of the fact that we now have this invasion USA crisis that has nothing to do with just immigration, but indeed has to do with the business of breaking the laws to get into America and the radicalization of politics vis-a-vis the various groups from La Raza, El Conquistador, LULAC, and all of these other organizations that have an agenda. And it is an anti-white racial agenda in many cases. So I think that you might comment on that, whether you agree or not, but I think that we have already been placed on the defensive many years ago in this country.
Oh,
and in Canada specifically.
There's no question about it. To me, the great unanswered question is whether or not it was Hispanics making these arguments, or blacks, or the Anti-Defamation League. Why so many whites have somehow swallowed the notion that for us to wish to preserve our peoplehood, our nations, our majority, our culture, our biological distinctness, for us to wish to preserve any of these things is somehow white supremacy and hate mongering.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a state in which to take the most basic and obviously necessary steps to preserve ourselves as a people and a culture, that is considered evil by the majority of whites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any group that is unable to put its interests before those of other groups is destined for oblivion. And it's not just racial groups. It can be a country. It can be a corporation. It can be a club. It can be an athletic team. If one athletic team doesn't put its interests first, it'll be smeared. Likewise, General Motors has to put its interest first, or Ford, Toyota, anybody else. They will just put it out of business instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And unless whites are prepared to say, well, no, it is important for us as white people that this be done, then they will be simply shoved aside by other racial groups that are far sharper-elbowed than we and that have absolutely no qualms about saying, look, we want this, we want that. And if it comes at the expense of whites, too bad.
I see this right now. I'm sure you do, too. The crisis of the invasion USA really galvanizing Americans and particularly European, people of European ancestry, but not only them, blacks and others in the country today who feel threatened and feel their nation is threatened by the invasion of the United States and this business of conquering the United States, this war, this Mexican-American conflict again. I see that it's having a backlash effect right now in the last 2 years as I have never seen it before. Would you agree that that is the case?
Oh, there's no question. There is a very, very considerable head of steam built up behind the notion that illegal immigration is a terrible threat to the United States. I see the opposition to illegal immigration as a kind of incipient racial consciousness. I know that the Minutemen, for example, Jim Gilchrist's group, other Border Patrol mm-hmm. kind of people, they will say, no, what we're opposed to is illegal immigration. They will say, legal immigration is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a position, by and large, they feel they must take. But they know very well that if we are having millions and millions of Mexicans and other Hispanics, other non-whites,
mm-hmm.
pouring into this country, they will change our country in profound and disagreeable ways.
Absolutely, you're right, and we'll pick up on that. And we'll invite callers to join us at 1-800-313-9443. Jared Taylor, our guest. We shall be right back with more American Renaissance right here on RBNLive.com. I'm Rick Adams.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
All right. Okay, we're back. Amren.com. Yes, American Renaissance. Jared Taylor with me. And, well, Jared Taylor is well known in many circles. And whether you agree or disagree, good, that's fine. We don't censor here. We want to get different views and people, what they think and what's going on in the world around us. But no doubt about it, I think we're witnessing now an incredible battleground here in America, Jared.
Yes.
And it's growing every day. And our own so-called leaders are part of this insurgency to destroy America. They're doing a good job. They're selling out. They're building up our enemies. They're opening up the doors to unlimited alien invasions. And they're saying this is the way to peace, strength, prosperity, and freedom, as George Bush would say.
Well, it is a very curious thing. As I said before, it is difficult for me to understand why it is whites have been persuaded that it is somehow wrong for them to defend their group interests. I often say that for whites to celebrate diversity, as they are so often asked to do, we're supposed to celebrate diversity, that means whites are supposed to celebrate their dwindling numbers and dwindling influence.
Mm-hmm.
You could not possibly get any other race of people to celebrate their dwindling numbers and influence. I mean, if we can imagine that hundreds of thousands of poor and crime-prone, in some cases disease-ridden whites were pouring across the border into Mexico, insisting on instruction in English rather than in Spanish, and celebrating 4th of July rather than Cinco de Mayo, and insisting on voting papers, ballots in English rather than Spanish, buying up radio stations and broadcasting in English. And if some of them were even muttering darkly about breaking off a chunk of northern Mexico and kicking out all the Mexicans and making it an all-white republic, it would be impossible to trick the Mexicans into saying that that was a celebration of diversity.
Yeah, is that right? You don't think they would say, hey, man, that's what freedom's all about, and we should defend their rights to do it?
They're smarter than that, aren't they?
Oh, they're cagey, huh?
It's only white people who have somehow been hoodwinked and hornswoggled into thinking that stepping off the stage of history and giving up their country to aliens is somehow a virtuous and even necessary act.
Well, look at what they've done. First in Rhodesia and now in South Africa. And as you know, just this past week or so, Mr. Mugabe, the black dictator of once proud Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, has continued to beat the opposition, to jail the opposition, and indeed to even kill his political opponents off, as well as wage a campaign of ethnic cleansing against whites. And what do our great liberal media moguls have to say about it? Isn't that a shame? Maybe the British government in the United States can cancel another soccer match or two.
Right.
And that's the extent of it, isn't it?
See, but that is what is so amazing. Never in the history of the world has a powerful and dominant people as whites are in the United States and whites are in Europe, never has a powerful, dominant people agreed simply to be driven out by aliens, to welcome aliens in amongst them, people who are as different from them as could possibly be, and say, oh, yes, it's wonderful if we become a minority. That will be good for us. It will be wonderful.
And that would be good for everyone else, too.
Yes, yes. This is a kind of psychological capitulation that has never, ever happened in the history of the world. We're suffering from a kind of mass insanity. And just how it started, I wish I knew the answer to that question. But even more important, I wish I knew the solution to this mass insanity.
Well, some of us can chew that one around and give it some discussion. But be that as it may, the reality is that we have a double standard. And we have
indeed
a very obvious double standard. And it is pronounced. It is totally and completely enunciated daily by the media, without shame, without batting an eyelash, that this is okay, this is acceptable. And again, as I said in opening the program, the only racism that really exists is white racism on everyone else. That is the formula, that's the Marxist formula going way back, as you know, the Saul Alinsky School and all of these others. It's pure dialectics, and it's designed to destroy whatever left exists in America today, the last bastion of European strength and European heritage. Now, I see we have a bunch of people on the lines who'd like to talk to you, so we'll do this. We'll take a quick break, and then right after that, Jared Taylor, we will entertain calls, and we will get people's viewpoints on what they think about you. But meanwhile, how can they get on your website and subscribe to the publication?
Well, the
American Renaissance.
The monthly publication is American Renaissance, and they can subscribe at www.amren.com. And we'd be happy to add to our subscriber list, as most publications are.
All righty, you heard it. And our number here is 800-313-9443. If you can get through, if you can't, you just keep dialing and be patient, and I trust you can stay with us for a little while tonight, Jared. All right.
How long would you like?
As long as you can stay, you're welcome. You stay another hour if you'd like. All right. We'll be back in 3 minutes, though, with your calls. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, on Uncensored Radio Free America, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready, Jared Taylor, to take some calls?
Certainly.
All right, let's go to the phones, 800-313-9443. Let me start with, I believe, Kevin in Texas. Hello, Kevin. You're on with Jared Taylor.
Yes, thank you. I read Mr. Taylor's book years ago, Paid with Good Intentions,
yes.
And I thought it was very insightful. But I'm one of the, I guess, positive theory that this diversity, which has been pushed for at least a generation now, mm-hmm. was in preparation for what was being planned, which is to let people, third world people from every corner of the earth, come to the Western countries and just basically have us all mixed up together so nobody really will be a majority and nobody can really get together and rise up against the powers that be. The other thing is, I wouldn't say that the people who are pushing this diversity and telling us how wonderful it is to be transformed by all this immigration and all this stuff, I wouldn't say that they're quote white. I think the media is the most powerful force pushing that, and the way that they censor the news and refuse to allow stories to be published where non-whites are the perpetrators. But if you have some, like in Austin recently, we had just very recently, we had three black males beat a white male on 6th Street. He died about a week later. Now, you have to read several stories before you will finally get to the fact that they were black. They do not mention that at all, you know. Okay. So, and it's this constant thing about, you know, but whereas if that were a situation where three whites had beat a black male, there would have been, you know, there would have been hell, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Jesse Jackson would have been down here. I mean, just everything, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the media is the group that's pushing this.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. All right, let Jared respond.
Okay.
Well, I think there's no question about that. Often, if the races were reversed in a news incident, it would be either not heard about or it would be splashed coast to coast on the front page. There's no question about that. The theory in the United States, as our host articulated earlier, is that if there is racism in this country, then it is all a one-way street. Racism is something that only whites do to other people. And if there's any news that appears to contradict that, if there's any sign of racial hatred by blacks or Hispanics or anyone else against whites, that news is downplayed or maybe never even makes it into the newspapers or onto the airways. There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do the media do that? I think that I am not among those who think that the media are run by evil people who hate and want to destroy white people. I think that by and large, the people who are in the media think they are doing the right thing. They genuinely think that because of such things as slavery and Jim Crow and lynching, that white people really are a dangerous potential source and a genuine problem for racism. That give white people a chance, they'll be racist. Therefore, you don't want to stir them up by publicizing any example of non-white hatred of whites. At the same time, you have to whoop up every example of white wickedness so that whites will feel bad about their past, bad about their present. And I do think that most of the editors in the media think that that's the best way to produce better race relations in the future. I don't think that their plan is, okay, we're just going to destroy the white race. I think that at some level they genuinely believe that this is the way to encourage better race relations. Of course, it does not have that effect at all.
Well, isn't that going back to your book, The Good Intentions? You know, the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Indeed.
I don't buy that all of them are good intentions,
no,
by the way. But
I
let's
don't
say,
either.
Even if the majority were, it doesn't make their crimes any less odious. Crimes of the media.
Look,
exactly.
our survival is ultimately at stake. And
yeah, exactly.
we've got to straighten these people out.
Well, my final point is, if their responsibility is to report events and give us the news, then how are they discharging what they have been given a constitutional right, you know, with all kinds of privileges to do? They aren't. I mean, they are trying to, and I agree with Mr. Adams. I don't even think a majority of them have good intentions about, you know, this is going to help race relations in the future. I do think that many in the media who are not white, I repeat, I don't consider them white,
European. Go ahead and say, you're talking about Jews, presumably.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have read by their own hand, I have read that their objective is to bring down the population of people of European descent, so what happened in Germany will not happen again.
Well, they did a good job of that in World War II,
yes.
Eliminating whites and the cream of the crop in Germany and the United States, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your call. Yes, Jared, go ahead.
I think there is a certain group of Jews whose view is that Jews will be safer in a United States that does not have a firm and self-conscious white majority. I think there is some number of Jews that believes that. On the other hand, to me, what is astounding is the number of whites who have subsequently gone along with this. But it's all very well to say that Jews do this, Jews do that. But if you were to look at the way, say, Presbyterians now behave, or Episcopalians, they are just as suicidal on any question having to do with race or any question having to do with immigration as any other group in the country. I think it's simplistic to say that try to pin the problem on Jews.
Well, you know, that may be and that may not be, but you know, one incident that is interesting and stands out in my mind is going back to the year 2000, December 14th, and you know what happened. Based on what I'm going to read to you, Jared, you remember this incident quite well. It was 11 p.m. on the freezing cold night of December 14th, 2000, when Reginald Carr, 23, and Jonathan Carr, 20, invaded the home of three young white Wichita men who had two female guests. The Carr brothers forced all of them to strip naked. They beat the men and raped the women. And then, as you know, they repeatedly raped the women. The Carr brothers also had eventually been found guilty of forcing them to perform sexual acts on each other, sodomizing one of them, and forcing three male victims to perform sex acts with each of the women. Then the black Carr brothers robbed them and brutally murdered four of them. Now, of course, this story was spiked, for the most part, in the media. And it was certainly news in Wichita. It was big news in the state. But like the story of the young boy who was sodomized by two homosexuals, Jesse Dirkising, in Arkansas, right around the same time, it, too, was spiked. There is an agenda here. I mean, let's face it. Whether their intentions are good or not, there is an agenda, too.
I just described what I think that agenda is.
Yeah, right.
Yes, the theory is that white people are susceptible to racism, and so they have to be protected from the truth. And if it were coast to coast headlines about what the Carr brothers had done, that the fear is, oh, those wicked white people, they might go on the march and start lynching blacks again. I think the dangers of that are very slim. But what we have here is a situation in which every conceivable act of wickedness by whites is magnified, publicized, never forgotten. And all that does, of course, is encourage blacks and non-whites to hate whites. Our media are constantly telling blacks, if something goes wrong for you, it's a white man's fault. Well, if you're told over and over and over again that anything that goes wrong for you is the fault of that bunch over there, naturally you're going to hate them. And so our media are, in effect, teaching blacks in particular and Hispanics as well to hate white people.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take some more calls. I don't want to hog the time here. Larry in Florida is next. Hello, Larry. You're on with Jared Taylor.
Rick.
Yes. Yes, Larry.
Once again, you're my hero. You are breaking fresh ground. I love your show. I've been begging and wanting some radio host on RBN or Genesis or somebody to bring on a white racialist, a racially conscious man like what you have now. In fact, me and Mike Piper exchanged emails about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was suggesting Eric Glebe from the National Alliance, and Mike Piper emailed me back and said, if I had that man on my show, I would be off the air the next day.
Well, probably. But here we're not speaking in any supremacist tone here. We're just speaking about the facts, I think. At least I am, anyway. I can't answer for Jared, but I'm speaking for myself, and that is that this agenda does exist. It's not by accident, and it's not, I don't think, out of good intentions. I think it's nefarious. I think there is a racial bigotry within the media, and I think whether it's a deprecation of whites or whether it's a guilt trip, whatever you want to call it, hey, it's the same thing they imposed on South Africa, and now look at the result. And they're not apologizing to anyone. And they should be. They should be. Larry?
You stole my thunder with the Wichita Massacre.
Yes.
That never made the national news at all anywhere except in the Wichita area, and National Public Radio keeps bringing up old lynchings from like 1896 and 1906 and 1910. I've emailed them saying, hey, what's with the white guilt here, you know?
The 1890s, huh?
And yeah, 1896 in North Carolina, a bunch of whites went wild and lynched a bunch of blacks.
Yeah.
And so this is what we hear about. They, you know, of course, you know, I'm not going to cover ground you've already covered. I look at the Jewish-controlled media as a parasite inside of a larger organism, which is the white race, and it's eating us from the inside, like a wasp egg, you know, when the wasp will lay an egg in a caterpillar or something. This whole thing, I've been involved with the National Alliance for this summer. It'll be 10 years, and one thing I've noticed about the mainstream media is they'll bring up neo-Nazis in Germany, and they'll have a whole big story on that, or they'll bring up, the supposed neo-Nazis or white supremacists or whoever in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They'll talk about them, mm-hmm. but they never, ever talk to them. You never hear a direct quote from any of these people. Oh, you'll hear plenty from the Southern Poverty Law Center and everybody
else.
Well,
there is no debate. There's no debate on any of these issues, and that's the core of the problem. Let Jared respond to what you've said so far, Larry. Okay, go ahead, Jared, if you have a response.
Well, I think it's without question that somehow, and it's not just in the United States, in all white societies,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Australia, New Zealand, any of the European countries, Canada. Mm-hmm. Canada's even worse than we are.
Oh, you bet they are.
And once again, and this is the case whether or not there are a large number of Jews. I mean, there are not very many Jews in Denmark or Sweden or Norway. They are just as obsessed with white guilt and somehow any expression of white pride being white supremacy and wicked. This is a worldwide white disease. And I think, once again, it's all very well to say, okay, there are a lot of Jews who are promoting this. And in some cases, there are Jews who promote this. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's it's passing the buck to say it's their fault. I mean, even if we were to conclude, okay, what is it? What are Jews in the United States? About 3% of the population? Are white people really being led around by the nose by 3% of the population? I mean, we have some responsibility in this, for heaven's sake. And I think that unless white people wake up
mm-hmm.
and really take responsibility for what their country and what their people are up to, then there's no hope for this.
Yeah. But
hey,
the
Rick,
thing is, I think that, I think that the problem is they're not allowed to think outside of the box, and that box is designed for them, put in the box by those particular tribes that run the media. Yes, Larry, go ahead.
Hey, Rick, before I get off the line, I got to tell you two things.
Quickly.
One is May 7th. May 7th is the Ernst Zundel demonstration in front of the German embassy in Washington, D.C. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have, yes.
Okay, and the Memorial Day weekend, May 27th or something like that,
uh-huh.
29th or something,
yeah.
Is the Holocaust conference in Hillsborough, West Virginia at the National Alliance headquarters. There's going to be a Holocaust conference with a lot of interesting guests going to be there. Over Memorial Day weekend.
All right. Well, I appreciate you announcing it on the show. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
I understand where you're coming from and your views, and you're entitled to your views, and we're all entitled to our views, although don't say it too loudly or the ADL will come down upon us. But anyway, the thing that is interesting, Jared, about this whole formula we're talking about tonight is it's even more insidious, not just in the newspapers, or on television per se, in the so-called commentary news op, programs. But Hollywood itself, the films, the industry.
Oh, yeah.
That's what influences young people more than anything. Young people don't watch the news largely. They don't pay attention. But the subtleties of the movies themselves. And
yeah.
you remember Sidney Poitier and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and Spencer Tracy and so forth, and the kinds of new ground that were being broken in
right.
the 60s. That has a tremendous influence on youth today. And miscegenation is the yes, and separation or you know, monogamous dating, I mean racially monogamous, is a taboo. It's evil. It's wicked. It's terrible. Somehow it's a crime now.
Oh, there's no question that all of the pillars of society in the United States, it's not just the media, it's the churches, the schools, politicians, everybody takes this white suicide line, misogynist, that the more we breed with other races, that will eliminate race itself, and then we'll be this happy cafe au lait society. With no race, there can be no racism. You know, they don't point out that if that happens, it's only happening in what used to be majority white countries, and it's only whites that would disappear. You wouldn't have, you know, there are going to be plenty of blacks left in Africa, plenty of Asians left in Asia, plenty of mestizos left in South America. If we have this sort of misogynist love-in, it's only whites who will disappear.
Interesting. All right, Jared, stay where you are. We've got Jim, and we've got Rita, and more coming right up. Right here on Uncensored Radio Free America, our guest Jared Taylor, American Renaissance. We'll be right back. Rick Adams. Imran.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Okay, Jared Taylor with us tonight. Amren.com if you'd like to go on online and look him up and his debates, his articles, and you have written quite recently and currently, obviously, about the Mexican invasion, if you will, and other than Mexican invasion, OTM, that is engulfing this nation, of course, tying in with the North American Union. I'm glad to see Idaho now has pulled out of the North American Union. They have taken a strong stand against it. And we need more of that, Jared, and we need more defensive action, but also offensive action. And that doesn't mean going out and killing a bunch of people or doing something violent against any group. It just means asserting your own particular heritage and being proud of it. And obviously there's enough bad people in every group to you know, create a stigma, you know, whether it's blacks doing wrong or whites doing wrong or anything. And there's no call for innocent blood ever being shed by anyone in the name of justice. I think we'll all agree on that, who are reasonable, right?
Yes. At the same time, though, it's unquestionably the case that mm-hmm. different racial groups commit different crimes in at vastly differing rates.
Oh, yes, yes, that's true.
Yep. One of the things that American Renaissance has become known for is our research into race and crime rates.
Mm-hmm.
We've put out a number of reports called The Color of Crime. And mm-hmm. the state's government puts out an enormous amount of statistical information on these questions. And it's a matter of sifting through this enormous amount of data. But when it comes right down to it, there is no question that blacks commit violent crime at 8 to up to 15 times the white rate. And Hispanics commit violent crimes at 3 to 4 times the white rate. And interestingly enough, Asians, and here I'm talking about North Asians, not the Hawaiians, for example, that are sometimes included in the Asian category. Asians commit violent crimes at about one quarter the white rate. And these are consistent across geography, across time. You have very, very substantial racial differences in violent crime rates. Interestingly enough, you have racial differences in all kinds of other crime rates, too, but they are most pronounced and most noticeable when it comes to violent crime.
Also, one of the big controversies now, just about in every state, and in my home state, in Rhode Island, we have these so-called, you know, self-anointed spokesmen for the, quote, minority community, whatever that means, like Joe Almeida and people like that, that would like to ban a practice which they claim exists and they claim is a deliberate policy of racial profiling. And you and I know what that is all about. That's another agenda that is perpetrated by a group of people who really and truly not merely want to tie the hands of the police who legitimately need to protect our society, but they truly and honestly have distorted and perverted the issue and created an issue where in most cases there is no policy of racial profiling. It is absolutely absurd as far as I'm concerned, Jared.
You see, the whole controversy about racial profiling is a fascinating one to me. Whenever a police department is accused of racial profiling, they of course say, oh, no, we don't do any such thing. What they should be saying is, of course, racial profiling is a legitimate police tool.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Just as sex profiling, age profiling, mm-hmm. for example, it is well known, in, not just in law enforcement circles, but everyone knows that young people are more violent than old people. Everyone knows that men are more violent than women. And if the police spent as much time trying to track down old women as
yeah.
possible suspects as they do young men, they never get their jobs done.
Talk about inefficiency and blindness.
Yeah. Yes. It's a matter of pure common sense.
Sure, sure. All right, that's a legitimate point. We'll be right back on that. Stay with me, if you can. Jared Taylor, I'm Rick Adams. We'll take more calls just ahead in hour number two.